Fan BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we are going to be discussing Hypnotic Fireflies by Brian Balmages. Cheers to starting the conversation.
All right, this piece is fantastic. It sounds like movie music to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think of when we played this. It is split flute parts, split clarinet parts, alto, trumpet. Lots of percussion. There is a split trombone part as well, sorry. There is a piano part that is really important.
Yes.
You need to have a piano player for this.
Yes.
I would not program this unless you have someone who can play piano because it's really important. Lots of percussion parts. And we brought in a special guest.
Are you ready? Introducing Nathan Lewis.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So here's why we brought him in. This piece is cool and it has an amplified slinky part in the percussion, and I remember back when Nathan was a band director or a percussion director, he actually made a slinky for this piece. So you're going to take us through what you did.
Right. So you want to go to like Home Depot and get one of their big buckets. And to prepare for this, like you're going to, on one side of the bucket, you're going to cut out like a square that's roughly the size that a slinky could fit through without having to do any shenanigans. And then opposite of that hole on the other side, you're going to drill a small hole. The hole needs to be just big enough that you can thread the slinky through. And you're going to basically thread the slinky through this. The bucket is going to be sideways, and you can figure out a creative way to mount it. We drilled a small hole in the bottom of the bucket and mounted it to a cymbal arm. And what this turns into is like basically a megaphone for the slinky. So you set it up sideways. The slinky hangs all the way down to the ground through that square hole that you've cut. And you can play this part with it. And you don't need an amplification system for it. You can just use this giant megaphone. If you want to amplify it, obviously you could do that too. But
okay, so let me make sure I have this correct, Nathan. The square hole, the bigger hole, is on the bottom of the bucket.
No, it's the square hole is going to be on the side. So imagine that bucket is turned sideways.
So the slinky is threaded horizontally through the bucket, not vertically.
Yes.
Got it. Okay,
yes.
I was envisioning it the other way. I understand now.
Yeah,
okay.
So
then when you play it, it bounces up and down and vibrates.
Yes.
And it comes out as like a megaphone towards
the
audience.
Yes, you want that bucket faced like a megaphone towards
right.
the audience.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you, Nathan.
Okay. So back to this piece. As Laura mentioned, it's marked at the beginning as mesmerizing at 1:44. And this piece is fun because it has so many little like
sound effects
moments that sound like fireflies.
Yes.
Or hypnotic. Like it just sounds like it's going and going and going, which you'll hear throughout the piece.
Now,
but
what I
the
think
kids
makes
also
it,
love it.
They do love it. But what makes it challenging is that there's not always a melody to latch on
no,
to,
right?
Because it is
just this pulse kind of going through
right,
all the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the whole piece starts out with, and you do have to have a lot of percussion. Sorry, we mentioned there is a lot, but you've got to at least have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, probably 6 to 7, maybe even more. And then
not
a piano
counting
player.
Your yeah. piano player,
yep.
right.
So it starts out with just piano, and they're doing the same little chordal thing over and over. The piece changes time signature a lot.
But it stays in the key of F, and I don't think I said that.
Yeah, it does. It stays in the key of F the whole time. Just changes meter quite
so
often.
So I want to talk for just a second before we dive in.
Okay.
When you play something with piano, like where I set a piano up, where you set piano up.
We're
so
different.
Like, yeah, anytime I play something with piano, I set the piano up between the podium and the front row. So the piano player is literally right in front of me. We put the amp, if it's not an acoustic piano, we put the amp next to the podium so that like the volume of it is easily controllable and the piano player can see me. There's no doubt about that. So only one time have I put a piano player off to the side and it was not successful. So I moved it to right in front of the podium. Where do you put yours?
I put mine off to the side. They play along with the percussion section with the mallet instruments always. So they're always on the same side as where my mallets mm-hmm. are so that way they're having the same pulse as them. And in this piece, it makes sense to have it be with the mallets because it's kind of doing percussion plays for a long time alone, which we'll get into in a second. But in other pieces, it might work being in the middle because it's more like melodic with other sections. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you do whatever is going to work best for your group.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, and again, when I've played this, I've always done it with an actual like keyboard with an amp. I never rely upon a venue to have a piano just because you just never know how it's going to feel for the kid either. So I always have the kids play it on what they've practiced it on. That's just a
like we would for all musicians except percussionists who are expected to play on different instruments every time.
Yeah, which is unless you take all your other places.
But anyway.
Yeah. So the vibraphone comes in after the piano along with China cymbal, and then triangle has like a little, they're having little like chiming effects. The vibe part is really important, and make sure you have them on strong enough mallets where you can hear the articulation because it's like a syncopated part.
Yeah, so we have in bells, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and then the vibes, 1, 1, 1. So that effect, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is what you get. And like what Katie's saying, that mallet choice is really important.
At measure 8, the flutes come in on a low E trill, one person. So it's just supposed to sound very like far off and a little bit like, what's happening?
Or
you know?
First flutes. You have to have more than one because they can't.
Yeah.
You'll have to stagger breathe.
Mm-hmm. My bad. Yeah. So they're holding a long note, and then the clarinet firsts come in, and they stagger breathe, and they're trilling.
Fluttering wings
fireflies. Adding in new percussion each time. This is where the amplified slinky comes in at measure 14. So you can do whatever to make that happen, but that's a really cool effect because when you can hear it, it sounds like just real tingy and like vibrating-y, and it makes you go, what is that?
It sounded like a laser. When we did it, because we created our own, not as fancy as what Nathan was describing, but we did our own too. But I remember thinking that like it sounded like a laser.
It's very cool. So make sure that you actually make it be amplified enough where you can hear it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, why are you even going through the trouble? Piano part is still continuing to do the same thing, but the left hand comes in at measure 13 as well. Now they're playing some like longer and more deep chords.
Along with what the vibes are doing.
Yep. And then at measure 18, we start to have the saxes come in and the full band. Full band comes in on a piano chord, very quiet and holding, but the saxes are doing 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3. And you will want to do like a crescendo, decrescendo there.
Give that cool effect.
Yep. And then at 21, we finally have our first like melody, and it's in the clarinets. And then the response, the 1 and 2 and 3 and response that comes back over and over, in this case, is in the flute. And the saxes have the 1 and. So it's almost like little just reverberations. Da 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 bum bum. It's cool. It's written so well. So it comes back again. Clarinets build it up again. Flutes and saxes have the response.
And then it
moves
to brass.
Then the lows
come in. Yep, yeah, kind
of. 29.
The brass kind of do the same type of thing. Now we have the trumpets coming in with that and the low voices supporting.
Yeah.
And clarinets. Horn. Yeah. Horn is, yes. And then clarinets and altos are doing the noodles.
1 and 2 and 3.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're kind of building it. And then the piano's still doing eighth notes. We are not pedaled anymore, though. I don't remember pedaling the whole time until
I think it still is
13 that's pedaled. I'm sorry. We're just checking to see if we're right. I don't think it's pedaled anymore at some point at 21, I believe. Yeah. At 21, we go back into, we're not 8 VA anymore. We go down, and I don't know that we're pedaled, but maybe we are still. Sorry.
I think we are. I'd have to look
at the part, but it's not as high anymore. And so now that we've added in the low people, the piano part has come down an octave as well. So we're building up to 35, and then we're back into 4-4. We were in 3-4 for quite a while. And this is like a really cutesy little part where the flutes and the clarinets are kind of conversing with percussion. Mm-hmm. 1 and 2, one and two, three and four, one and two, three and four. Then the horns or trombones come in with the melody. So they're going to back off trombone, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And it's got accents on it. So this whole
very
part
firm
so
articulation
far,
here.
Yeah,
yep.
Has been like cute little fireflies in the glowing dark and like little effects. Dee, 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 dee. But then the trombones get to come in and have that first little accented part on, along with euphonium
on the upper woodwinds while they're doing that one and two, three and four, one and two, all that just continues over and over and over. I would make sure that your vibrato instruments, your flute and your oboe, are giving a little vibrato weight to the quarter note to keep from clipping those notes short. Mm-hmm. So that we don't get one and two, three and four, one and two. They don't need to be lifted that way. One and two, three and four, one and two, three and four.
Yeah, so the staccato part is obviously marked in saxes instead of the upper people. The upper people are playing it just like an ostinato. The trombone, euphonium have the accents. Then the trumpets come in with a response. One and that same response from before. Then the trombones keep going. The uppers are still not playing anything louder than them. Then the euphonium comes in with the trumpets. One and four and one, two, three. So this part is accented and it's got to be very stylistic. You have to make sure that that is the melody. We're still not to a forte. We're just building it up. Then the lows, tuba, berry, bass clarinet, get a little moment. One, two, three, four. And then it gets quiet again.
With
so
just
46,
marimba.
Just marimba.
One and two, and three and four. And
one and two, two and three. And then the little slinkies. So then the slinky plays again. You've got vibraphones doing one and the response with a clarinet this time and flute. And then a little trumpet. One, one and. And then we're back to quiet little like moments. One, two, three, four, two, four. And the trumpets have these little responses.
Interjections,
on two,
different
interjections
than
everybody else. Yep.
And those to me are like little fireflies making their appearance, right?
Yep,
just
yep,
a, here
yep,
it is. Hey, look
just
at me.
For
look
a
at
moment.
Me.
Yep. Then the flute and the clarinet have the one and four and one, two, three, the same part the trombones had a minute ago, but not accented this time. Way softer. It's like it's in the distance.
That's
it's
right.
Just a reverberation. Then the trumpets take over with pickups or beat four playing on measure 53. And then we've got little interjections again from the lows. Trumpets are continuing to have their little moment. Then we switch in 56. The mallet percussion is still playing the eighth notes, keeping the pulse. Now the piano comes back in and it's got chords, so it's helping with pulse too. And we have this little hypnotic part where it's one and two, three and four. And this time it is short.
It is short.
It's marked staccato.
And it's opposite. So altos are going one and two, three and four. And clarinets are going rest, two and three, four and one, two and three. And it has to
sound
match.
Sound the same.
It
yep.
has to match.
Yep. And it needs to sound balanced, like exactly the same. Then you have
this to me is the trickiest part of the whole
it is
piece
tricky yeah,
to
because,
sound good
yeah because we're very thinned out here. Flutes come in with the one and they're holding, and there's lots of effects happening in the percussion here, like just little triangle hits, little finger cymbal hits, little slinky,
just all these little colors, like these little metallic colors coming in
that
are supposed to sound like little fireflies.
It sounds cool. Yep. At 64, the flutes continue on, the oboes join them, and then we have these little tiny soft interjections in the trumpets and the lows. Everybody is playing very short, but very, it's got to be a beautiful chord, two or whatever it is.
Yep.
It's got to be exact. Everybody together, everybody quiet enough, everybody balanced, everybody the same length. That's hard. So making sure that you take time on that, because it comes back over and over.
This
where we're just
several
going
times
back
in this
and
section.
Forth.
That
yep.
right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then making sure percussion wise that everything just lays nice and in time. We add in this suspended cymbal part, so marimba is still keeping on with one and two and three and four and just holding down that pulse. Then we add this suspended cymbal part, one into two and three into four and one into two
and
three.
And it's cool, but it can't be too loud.
That's right.
But it's like it's driving.
And it has to be the like it has to be clear. We have to be able to hear it. We've got, you know, you want all of the stickings totally even. You don't want to hear anything louder or accented. And then all the wind players are continuing the same idea that we had before. Still, everything is mezzo forte. We are in the land of mezzo forte, not letting it get out of control. As we lead into measure 72, now we have something a little bit different. We have this little woodwinds, the flute, clarinet, and alto, one and two and three, and we've added a slur here, and what is going to happen is they're going to clip
and the time signatures are changing often.
Yes. So making sure that we're full value, tia, 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 I would have them slur everything.
Yep.
And then add a light tongue in later. And low voices have, trumpets and low voices really still have these same little interjections again. So firm articulation, making sure we're moving together in time. Everybody lands on a double whole note together with percussion, keeping our pace. And
they get
xylophone,
to be really important.
Yeah,
here, yeah.
Xylophone is and piano are really, really important here. They get this little chromaticism.
And you want to hear that over the chord of the band.
Yes.
Then the flute and oboe and sax take over that part, and now they're playing it along with them. And then we've got the one and again from trumpet, horn, and clarinet.
This gets
now
passed
we're more,
through.
Mm-hmm, and we're more accented here. One and four and one. And then at the 2-4 measure, we're all playing together. One, two, and then we've got another whole note. So it's like a really strong section here. This is a good moment where we're all building up.
And all of these dotted quarter patterns that we have, this little hemiolar rhythm, I would treat every one of them, especially here, like forte pianos.
Yeah.
Because now we're forte. We're at a stronger dynamic level. We want really firm fronts to the notes and da, da, every
one
of them.
And then soft,
because
then the next group comes in.
That's
boom,
right.
Boom. You've got to hear each of those reverberations throughout. Then we've got lows on a long whole note. We're decrescendoing for four, but then we're crescendoing for four too. That's a cool effect and moment, so make sure that you make that happen. And then at 86, we're soft again. We've all gone away. We've got the little suspended cymbal groove again. Clarinet and sax have that back and forth moment again, but this
with
time,
no staccatos.
Right, but this time the euphoniums get to have the little interjections instead of the trumpet. We're getting lower. And then we're kind of building it back up again. As Laura mentioned,
our
no staccatos here. We're playing more like connected.
Our suspended cymbal is back, laying that.
At 94, we're playing pretty strong. This is getting towards the end. The trumpets have the melody, and they have every quarter note has accents on it. So making sure that that sounds different than before. The flute and the oboe have it with them, but they're the more important part. Saxes are secondarily important, but not very loud. They have like that same little chromatic-y thing that the xylo had before.
Ensemble dynamic here is fortissimo, but ensemble dynamic does not, or like
does
not,
not
every individual needs to be playing fortissimo.
And you want to hear this cool horn and tenor sax part at measure 96. So it's passing back and forth. You've got to make sure you can hear the moving part. So the lows come in first, and then you got to hear trumpet and flute and oboe at 95. And then at 96 on beat 3, you got to hear that horn, alto, tenor sax, 3-1, 3-4-1. And then we start it again. Then it's the trumpets first. And then just bringing out all the moving half notes with the accents.
Everything is accented. Again, if you see it on the page, you need to hear it, right?
And then the accents go away at 102. And we're back to a little bit more just like firm articulation, but not accented. The trumpets have the melody again. The horns have a little bit of a cool part after them. And we're kind of thinning out.
So we reached the pinnacle, right?
Yeah,
like we landed at that fortissimo.
Yes.
And now we're backing off. Everything's getting softer as we get to the end.
Yep. We're thinning out at 108. Now we have nobody playing. It's just like the beginning, except not piano this time. It's chimes, vibraphone, and wind chimes. And at 108, we've got a flute trill again. Then the lows come in. The low brass come in at 110 with the low reeds, and they just have like this really mellow half note line. It's the melody, but it's not accented.
It's really
like just
like
it's
a harmonic foundation.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just hearing the end credits.
And it's really pretty, but it's hard to play in tune.
Yeah,
especially
it is.
When the kids are tired at the end of the piece. So just making sure that they're playing in tune, they're not breathing on the bar lines, they're not all breathing at the same time. It's just supposed to sound, like little chords playing to the end. Then it gets softer and it's slowing down little by little. So they're doing the same thing. The low people are playing these chords together, and there's not like a piano part helping you with the tempo. So they have to watch. and play together. You've still got the trill going on. Then they get even softer and keep going. Then we're down to pianissimo again at 123.
And the trumpets, like what we had earlier, only yep. now.
And the trumpets get to play with a cup mute.
And this was at the beginning, too. They had a cup mute at the beginning.
With piano playing again. But now we've got these little, like, sighing chords is what I always call it. Like, bottom. You're just, like, kind of holding and getting softer and softer. Then we're exactly half as fast at measure 127. We're in 3/4, and we've ritardandoed enough. This is a hard skill
this
for kids.
This is really hard.
Yeah, just
you're
getting
going
soft
1, 2,
enough
3, 4,
and slow
1,
enough.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
1.
Yep. And the piano is now playing the same thing. It looks like it's faster. Because
they went 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2. Or so 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 E and a 2 E and a 3 E and a 1
yeah.
E.
Yeah, so just telling them you're playing the same thing. It just looks different. And then there's all these cool little effects again in percussion underneath. The slinky is back. Vibraphone is marked to play random notes. At random, a B flat, a C, and an F, just in whatever order.
And it's meant to be twinkling.
Bells do the
right?
same thing. Yeah. Yes. And you don't want it to be too crazy. It's marked soft, but they're little twinkles, like Laura said. Then we got our last moment of melody with clarinet and sax. It's just beautiful and rich sounding. Horns kind of have a little response. And then at 132, we're getting even slower. The piano is going to help with this because they've got the moving part.
It's hard for them to hold their air and their sound steady at this dynamic level. Like, it's something you'll need to practice in your fundamentals to sound really good.
For sure. And then our last little moment of melody again is with the clarinets and saxes. Then the whole band basically at 135 comes in on beat 2 and plays the last chord that we're going to hear. And then at 137, it says optional repeat, fade to nothing.
And it's just the piano and percussion taking us to the end.
This piece is so much fun. I love it.
It really
beautiful.
Is like movie music. It's great. Your kids will love it.
Well, we hope you will consider programming Hypnotic Fireflies in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.